on House Bill 5021. Mr. Friel?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am Kelly Friel for the Department of Administrative Services Budget Management Division, and I'm here to give you a brief overview of the Governor's recommended budget for the capital construction component of this budget. I'm going to be working from the display that was prepared. You should have a copy of it. I'll just make some real brief comments. First, I want to start with the table at the top right. This governor's budget is just a little under $123 million total fund, of which 14.8% is general fund. As was noted yesterday, the total fund amount is down considerably from the past two biennia. I think there was a full discussion of why. However, the general fund is down very little and is pretty comparable to the last two biennia. One of the points I want to make this morning is how the governor crafted this budget. She first used the priority list that was developed by the Board of Higher Education as his in determining which projects would be funded. He did have concern about the amount of debt service that the state was being obligated for, and so has limited the amount of general fund that is in this budget. Third point, he did support continuation of the Western Oregon Library, but did ask the university system to finance that extra general fund within their existing resources. So with that, I think that's pretty much the overview. The budget does include 26 campus projects. Of those, two are with Western Oregon, six are at Portland State University, eight are at the University of Oregon, seven at Oregon State University, one at Southern Oregon, and two at the Oregon Institute of Technology. In addition to those projects, there are five projects that are more system-wide. Looking at specifically at the general fund, as was already discussed, the vast majority of the general fund is related to Article 11G bonds, mostly for deferred maintenance in the system, and then additional resources for the Western Oregon Library. Page 2 of the document gives you the original list that was included in the governor's recommended document. I don't think that's really relevant at this point. Page 3 gives you the technical adjustments and errors that we adjusted for in developing the governor's revised budget. And page 4 is really the same list of projects that Steve talked to you about yesterday. I think the only difference between his display and the one that's before you right now is the $1,050,000 in general fund for the Western Oregon Library. And with that, Madam Chair, I complete my presentation. Do you have to answer any questions?
Any questions from Mr. Friel? Senator
Trump. One of my colleagues in the Senate talked about a project at the University of Oregon for a museum expansion. Can you tell us what the status of that is?
Madam Chair, Senator Tro, that was a late discussion yesterday after committee. There was a request that the governor also include other fund expenditure limitation for that particular project. And I think we've stayed fairly strong in the point that we do not want to increase any additional general fund obligations in future biennia. And so our position was if we could put a firewall between that project and additional general fund in future biennia, we would approve it, but did not get that assurance.
What do you mean by firewall?
That particular project, the museum project, would not come back and ask for additional general fund in future biennia.
How much initially have they asked?
Madam Chair, Senator Pro, I can find my notes, we'll get to that. Let's see out here. Oh, no, you're doing fine. They had asked for $6.36 million of other fund expenditure limitation.
Other fund expenditure limitation?
That is correct.
Sound like general fund.
Madam Chair, Senator Troe, I think the whole project is a little over $12 million. In my questioning of this, this would be a way to get additional donations into the system, and they could not give me assurances they wouldn't be back next biennium for the 11G bond potential, which would obligate additional general funds.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would, if I could please, like to discuss the LFO recommendations on House Bill 1521. Yeah. I will be looking at two things that were distributed to you today that I would ask you to refer to. One is the written description of the recommendations that's labeled Detail of LFO Recommendations, looks like this. And the other is a one-page sheet that looks similar to the table that was distributed yesterday, but is titled LFO Recommended Budget, House Bill 5021, Higher Ed Capital Construction, and which shows on one page what the recommendation is. Let me start by saying that LFO recommends approval of all of the projects that are in the governor's revised recommended budget that Mr. Friel just discussed. There are also additions. We are recommending that certain projects be added and with certain understandings of how some of them will be financed. In the one-page sheet, as I go through this one-page sheet, what I've done, and it's not as clear as I would have hoped with the way it was printed, but the revisions or the differences from the governor's recommended budget are shown in bold, and the things that are not in bold type are what you saw yesterday on a similar table. And I know it doesn't really show that clearly, but that's what it is showing. So let me please, if I may, go through the recommendations in the order that they are written out in the verbal description. The first recommendation is to add $1,050,000 of general fund for completing the Western Oregon University Library project. The governor, as Mr. Friel has said, has added $1.05 million of Article 11 G bonds for this purpose. As you know, G bonds need to be matched by general funds, so we're recommending that you add the $1,050,000 in general fund, which not only will allow the G bonds to be matched, but will bring funding to the full cost needed to complete that project.
Next here. And so on the Western Oregon Library project, the general fund is listed as $3,770,000.
That's the number that includes the $1,050,000.
So the $1,050,000 is general fund.
Correct.
And the balance, which is an equal amount, is the bonding.
That's correct.
And this page shows the total.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, this is adequate money to finish the project.
Yes, this is the, this will complete the project.
You don't know any.
Okay.
The second recommendation is to add three projects to the governor's recommendation that will be financed with a combination of Article 11G bonds and gifts, and also to add Article 11G bonds funds to a fourth project. The project, first of all, let me indicate on the table what these projects are and then explain the rationale behind this recommendation. The projects are, if you look at the University of Oregon, that's the subsection 2 here in this table, the last two items, I and J, are two of the three new projects that are being recommended. The third of the three new projects being recommended is under Portland State University, is under G, the Millar Library Research Center. And the fourth project, which is not a new project, which is an addition of Article 11G bond authority, a project already in the governor's budget, is back at the University of Oregon, A, the Allen Hall remodel. If you look at that number, the 561,800 for Article 11G, I did put that in bold because that's an addition to the $1,452,200 that's in the governor's budget. Rationale, or the reason behind this recommendation, is all four of these projects have something in common, and that is that they are projects that are financed with a combination of Article 11G bonds that are not matched by true general fund, but that are matched by gifts, which the state would deposit or transfer into the general fund to be used as the required constitutional match. The governor did not approve projects of this nature. All of these projects are projects that were originally requested by the Oregon University system in their request to the governor. And a discussion of this began, and I've distributed House Bill 5021-2 amendments, which are not the amendments that are consistent with the recommendation, but these are amendments that Representative Edwards requested to be drafted to add the PSU Millar Library Research Center, which was a project of this type. And after further discussion, it was clear that there was support to add all of the projects of this type.
Are there projects of this type at other institutions that have not been considered?
This recommendation would include all of the projects that the university system included in their recommendation to the governor that are funded by this nature, are funded of this, by this mechanism.
All of those that were in this project.
So all of these are being included. The situation here is that this has no impact on the general fund this biennium. It will have future general fund impact, though, because the Article 11G bonds, the debt service, is paid by the general fund. All of these are, this is a mechanism that's been used in last biennium also to fund projects, the general fund gift, the Article 11G gift match. As I'm stating here, I'm sort of down at the bottom sentence now of recommendation two. For all four of these projects, the gift monies will be deposited into the general fund to be used as the required Article 11G match, and all gift monies for a project will have to be raised before the bonds for that project may be issued, absent a prior report to the emergency board. So what this means is that if they are unsuccessful in raising their donations, the state will not issue the G-bond match unless they come to the emergency board and say, listen, we decided we only can raise $1 million of the $6 million we thought we were going to. Is this okay for us to go proceed with a smaller project? Otherwise, they have to raise the full amount.
It would always mean a smaller project.
It would, because there would be less funds than was anticipated when the project was put together.
Madam Chair.
Representative
Edwards. It's from a two last name. I think, you know, one of the things, too, by taking this step, this will also help those private fundraising drives. So this might be the chicken, hopefully, to get the egg. Some medical.
Yeah. How about catch 22?
Any other questions on this number two? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The third and final recommendation or of a change from the revised governor's budget is relating to the Eastern Oregon University Science Building, which more formally is being referred to as the Eastern Oregon University Natural Resources and Health Services Center. You heard yesterday about this facility, which is the campus of Eastern Oregon University and the Oregon University system both consider a very high priority. This package was requested, was in the system request to the governor with a request for $9 million of general fund and $9 million of Article 11G bonds and was not included in the governor's recommendation. The university would like to proceed or start to work on this project. There is no, co-chairs have informed the chair of the subcommittee and staff that there is no additional general fund available at this time to start this project. So, what the university and the system have agreed to request from you, and we recommend that you do this, is that you take $1 million from that first line there, which is the Deferred Maintenance Academic Modernization and Repair Fund. If you look at the number on this table here, and if you compared it to the table you saw yesterday, you'll see that the general fund is reduced by $500,000 from the previous level. The Article 11G bond match is reduced by $500,000. That money is being shifted into the new project, 8A, that's the Eastern Oregon University Natural Resources and Health Services Center, which is in bold because that's a new project. It wasn't in the governor's budget. The 500 is being shifted. There's no increase. And the understanding is that the reduction in academic modernization and repair funds of $1 million will be taken entirely from Eastern's allocation of those funds. So the allocation of those funds to Eastern will be reduced by $1 million, which will be almost all of the funds. I don't know. Have the exact number, but it will be the great majority of those funds. And they will instead be used for the Natural Resources and Health Services Center project. We do recommend that you approve a budget note to clarify the situation. And the budget note discusses the sources and uses of the funds and the expectations concerning the eventual cost of the project, because this is a situation where if the project is to be completed, the next legislature will have to do that, and we believe it's important that the record be clear as to what this legislature is doing. And is it okay if I read the budget note? Or budget note states the subcommittee shifted $500,000 of general fund and $500,000 of Article 11-1G bond limitation from line item Oregon University System Academic Modernization and Repair to the Eastern Oregon University Natural Resources and Health Services Center. Subcommittee understands that the Department of Higher Ed will reduce the amount of the Academic Modernization and Repair Fund allocated to Eastern Oregon University by $1 million from the level that would have otherwise been allocated.
Very true.
I'm certainly going to support this. I think it's a good move. I think we maybe need to have an understanding of what deferred maintenance projects are not going to happen there because we're doing it this way.
As you hear that explanation, Joe Cox, system. I spoke yesterday evening with President Creighton at some length. I ran him down in Tri-Cities, and it is his view, and I share it, that this is Eastern's highest priority. They simply have to crack this nut somehow. This step that you're taking, that you would take if you approve this, would be to raise this project to a different level of visibility, both for their donors, back to Representative Edwards' point, but perhaps even equally importantly to their potential federal and other state agency partners who need to come across the line off the dime. And we spoke at some length about this. President Creighton was absolutely clear. He said there's no question it's our highest priority. And I support that. And even though it means that they take a significant number of other projects under control off the list and limits prepared.
I understand you support it and I support it. I just want to know what's taken off the list and what the complications will be.
Good morning. My name is Linda Swanson. I'm the Director of Facilities in the Oregon University System. Senator Crow, the way that the allocation system works for the capital repair and deferred maintenance is that each campus provides us with an extensive list of possible projects that would be funded, including three different levels at three different funding possibilities. So the I would imagine that what would happen is that the initial basic projects would still get funded. Roof repair, plumbing, electrical, heating, ventilating, air conditioning.
Any of those things that might be emergency.
The ones that are the most critical would be funded. I would imagine that what would not get funded would be things lower down on the priority. That would include the restoration of the grand staircase, sidewalk, exterior lighting, those sorts of less urgent projects.
It would need to be done sometime, but could they be done at a greater extent?
There might be two effects. They might have to be delayed, or that the campus might be able to find some other ways of picking up the cost. I can't promise that the cost would go up because many of these projects are already at a pretty degraded state.
Continuing with the budget note, I'm now on the very last sentence on page 1, which continues that the monies appropriated and approved for the Eastern Oregon University Natural Resources and Health Sciences Center shall be used to meet architectural, engineering, seismic evaluation, Department of Energy review, and plans review costs only. Funds shall not be used for site preparation, renovation, or construction. Let me please explain those last two sentences. We received information from the university on the cost of the, essentially the planning for the building, the architects, the engineer reports, those types of things. The $1 million can be used to help meet those costs, but we do, the funds are not sufficient to actually start building the project or digging a hole or whatever. So the expectation is that when the next legislature meets next session, there will not be a situation where there is a project that has begun not only, physically begun and is not complete. The site will look the same. There will just be plans that have been developed for the project. So if the next legislature chooses not to continue or is unable to continue the project, there will not be that situation where it's partially completed in that sense. Continuing, the total cost, including the monies approved by the subcommittee of completing the Eastern Oregon University Natural Resources and Health Services Center, is expected to be $18 million. The university intends to raise a minimum of $2 million in private donations and secure at least $3.5 million of federal funds for the project. My understanding is you will all receive a letter from the university yesterday with that information, and we've included it here if you have a question about that. The remaining cost of completing the project would need to be financed by a general fund appropriation and by Article 11G bonds. The results of the planning and review funded for this project will be made available to the 71st Legislative Assembly of the 2001 session to assist that assembly in determining whether funding for the project should be continued.
So is the $1 million that would be allocated this time, is that part of the 18 or is that in addition to the 18?
Part of the 18.
So we have $1 million that we're doing this time, and we have 5.5 from other sources, so that 6.5 at other places. So we are then down to 11.5 that would be extra roll-up costs we're passing to the next legislature should they approve this.
Yes, there would be an expected cost of $11.5 million if the next legislature chooses to complete the project, which could be split or would be split half general fund.
So the general fund then would be half of that.
Correct.
Any other questions? Senator Trump?
I commend you all. I think you've done a good job with this, and I would move that we accept the whole recommendation.
Senator Trump moves that we adopt the
powerful
recommendation of House Bill 5021 discussion.
I wanted I had a couple of other questions. One, what was the timeline for raising the gift for Eastern Oregon, and what does that trigger mean? When do they have to do that?
We distributed a packet today, which looks like this, in the several pages that describes these new projects that we're talking about. But if you look at the very last page, the staple packet, the very last page, it's a page that was submitted by Eastern, to describe a proposed timeline for their raising of the $2 million component that they hope to raise. And you can see there's more information here. Some of this is beginning as soon as this summer. I would like to mention also that the fundraising goal for Eastern, this is a very ambitious goal for a school of this size. The federal funding, the $3.5 million, is not in hand yet. It is possible that these monies will not be able to be obtained, and that indeed 2 years from now, if the legislature does wish to proceed with the project, realistically, they may need more than the $5.75 million in general fund in Article 11G. This is just the budget note describes what the proposal is at this time. And whether these goals will be successful or not, the report will be given to the next legislature, and the expectations will be clear. And if for some reason they are now requesting more money than was originally the case from the state, they will have to explain that.
Do we have an indication of whether the chancellor's office is supportive of this thing on the top of the list next time? As we are investing funds.
It's number three now. It's, things can change, but this project has been at the top of that list. Moving up into the top of the list for some time, I expect it would be number one.
And so if we, in fact, invest these planning funds and support this move, then we could reasonably expect the Chancellor's Office to have this at the top of the list and not again put it to third, so we have to do two others first, and then we have to come back and fund this for the third level.
Representative Ross, given what we told you yesterday about deferred maintenance, I think number one is probably going to always be deferred maintenance, at least for some time.
Mm-hmm.
It has been so for the last five biennia, I guess. But the leading number one campus project would be this project. Unless I'm instructed differently by the board, I don't think that would be the case, because Eastern simply has to solve this problem.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the motion?
Senator Stroh? I just think that we must continue to invest in these institutions. And they all have needs, and they all have to face the future, and then we've got to be prepared to do that. And so I'm comfortable with this.
And the smaller campuses, I must say, for the record, have become ever more skillful in the area of fundraising and other funds. Southern, with its arts complex, $6 million. Eastern, with its $2.5 or $3 million toward the Western, with its $2.5 or $3 million toward the library. This is an ambitious goal for Eastern, but they simply have to do it in order to get there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to compliment too the university system for actually putting together a long-term comprehensive look at what their needs are, which will help this body for years to come, and as well as give you some guidance. I think
that's the plan.
Really good. This has been a really good project.
I want to thank the Chancellor, and particularly the direction the whole university system is moving, entrepreneurial activities relating to our customers with the students, and it's extremely important that the state invest in these projects, because based on my experience with the OSU Foundation, it helps a lot to draw in private money if there's an indication of investment of public money. I envision down the road here we'll even be able to raise funds for the modernization part of, which is an important part of the university system. But we are definitely moving in the right direction. Thank you very much for that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you. I think that other than the direct investment, which you all have consistently made even during hard times, I think the second most significant thing you've done to help us is to give us the ability to leverage the private gift and the other.
Any objections? Do you have a motion? Seeing none, motion carried. Do I have another motion?
Madam Chair, I move to send this bill as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Crowell moves. We move House Bill 5021 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carried. That was the
day two.